Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome back to Digital Spy's Soap Scoop podcast, where every Friday we're chatting with some of our favourite people from the world of soaps and breaking down all the biggest goings on in EastEnders, Emmerdale, Coronation Street and Hollyoaks. If you don't know the drill by now, I'm Sophie, and I'm joined, as always, by Ali.
Good morning, Sophie.
Hi, Ali. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm just battling the cold. I think I spoke about this a few weeks ago, but I'm continually having like boiler drama at home, and we had another boiler issue at the beginning of this week, so I was without heat over the weekend again, and you know. But now I'm back in a toasty flat, complete with a dressing gown, at 11 a.m. on a Wednesday. But that's the way that these things go in 2020.
It's the way to roll. Very 2020. Oh, it's so unfortunate, so especially in November, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of things that happened in November, that's a good segue. This is this week's guest is Stephen Murphy, who listeners might know as the editor of Inside Soap magazine. Stephen is someone that we know quite well, and we really wanted to bring him onto the podcast this week to talk about all things to do with the Inside Soap Awards, which is obviously, you know, soap's most glamorous night of the year. And which is coming up in the next week.
Yes, and continuing the 2020 theme, obviously this year's ceremony is going to be virtual, but it sounds like it's going to be a cracking event nonetheless, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. You've been a few times, right, Soph?
I have. It's always a great night out. We discussed this, didn't we, with Stephen? It's a great, great party, great awards, great cast. It's always a really, really, really fun event.
Yeah, it always seems like it's one of those shows where everyone's in good spirits, kind of like everyone is, all the soaps people are kind of like meeting up for the first time in a few months, and kind of we always come away with like lots of great stories and having lots of great chats with people.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is always fun.
And Stephen certainly had a few stories to tell.
Yes, definitely.
Spoiler.
So without further ado, we will leave you in the capable hands of us and Stephen.
Enjoy. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. I'm very excited to be here. I feel quite famous being on this.
Well, you are.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have a nice little natter all about the Inside Soap Awards taking place virtually on the 23rd of November. So obviously it's going to be a very different type of ceremony this year. So would you be able to just talk us through like how it's all going to work?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun, you know, because obviously when all this kicked off in March, we thought we can still have the Inside Soap Awards. It'll be over by then. April, May, June, we went through, and eventually we thought, right, okay, we have to think about this a little bit differently. So we still wanted to run the awards, you know, event, live event or no event. So we just sort of thought, well, there's no reason why we can't still have the awards, and then we can put something together that we can air live as a sort of an awards show almost. And what's quite exciting about it is that actually, everyone can kind of watch it and see it and enjoy it in a way they sort of can't. The Inside Soap Awards, and also I quite like the almost liveness of it, because normally the readers really get to discover the winners on one post on Digital Spy at 6:30 on the night of the event. So there's not a lot of anticipation. That's a great big info dump that they sort of get on it. So actually it's quite nice to be able to run through each award and get that sort of feeling of excitement about it. So yeah, we'll be running through each of the awards. We're trying to make it as exciting as possible. We're starting with, at the live one, we always start with a little montage type thing of some scenes and some snogs and some punches and some shouting and that kind of thing, because it really gets the crowd going. So we're going to do a bit of that just to open up, because that's kind of our tradition. And then we'll run through each award and the nominees, and then we'll announce the winner, and we'll have the reaction of the winner. Hopefully, we've haven't quite got them all scheduled in yet, but hopefully we will. We'll have this sort of reaction, sort of speech from the winner and everything. So it should be fun. It'll be quite fast and furious. It's not going to like 3 hours like the BAFTAs. You know, we'll keep it quite. You know, soaps are only, what's an episode of Coronation Street, 23 minutes long. You know, we don't want a lot. But that, the reason I do soaps is I have a short attention span. I'm absolutely convinced that's why. So that's why we're keeping it quite snappy and fun. We're hoping people enjoy it, and it'll be lovely. It's hopefully going to be a thing that they can look forward to tuning into, which is a very old-fashioned term, I know, but I'm quite an old man, so that's what I'll say, tuning into.
I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's nice that it's it's coming along at the same time of year that everyone expects to see the Untossed Soap Awards. It's like a nice, it's something quite comforting about being, it's mid-November.
We've been doing the awards as an event for this would have been the 20th actually,
wow,
as an event.
Wow.
And even before that, I was running for a few years before that, just sort of magazine based. So for continuity, I wanted to do it. And also, you know, we have, you know, Inside Soap is 28 years old. Mm. So we've got readers who've read us for 28 years. Yeah. And they've really came to expect that as part of the sort of calendar, the Inside Soap calendar year, because people do have a relationship with the magazine. They really do. It's, you know, it's you know, it sounds a bit cheesy, but it is a friend in a way, and you know that yourself in the media. You read media because you like the voice, you like the way it speaks to you.
Absolutely.
So it's like that. So from about May time, we were starting to get emails in or messages, you know, on social or whatever, saying, are you still doing the Inside Soap Awards? When's it going to be? So, you know, we held our guts as long as we could, thinking we might get an event, and as I said, then we decided to do it this way. So I kind of feel it's part of our DNA, actually. It's a big part of the magazine's year, so that's why I really wanted to keep it going.
Yeah.
We're all going to be in lockdown, so it's perfect timing for us.
You know, we're going to need some entertainment, so there is that. I wasn't quite anticipating the second lockdown, I must say, in my plans.
Like you said, the award's been running for, this would have been the 20th year, which is pretty nuts. In any other sort of year, so, you know, COVID notwithstanding, what would you say is the kind of like, what would you be doing now, this, you know, 2 weeks out from the award show, and what's the hardest part of planning a show like this in a normal year? Cast your mind back to the, you know, 19 other ones.
It's sort of, normally at this point, you're tearing your hair out a little bit, you're trying to organise things. You know, a lot of it is you're at the complete mercy of the soap schedules. Mm. And obviously they sort of come first, you know, they sort of come before any publicity or whatever, even though the soaps will all try incredibly hard to get everyone there. They want to be there. It's not always possible. So there's a slight thing of, we think we might be able to get so-and-so, we might be able to move a scene, and you're going, please, please, please. And then, you know, we've done nuts things like saying things I didn't even discover knew existed, taxis that have beds in the back.
Oh, wow.
We've sent people home from the NSSO boards at 10 o'clock in a taxi to Leeds so they can get home and be on set at 7 the next morning, and they have a little sleep in the back of this funny instead of sleeping.
That sounds quite nice, even if not for like a long journey.
I didn't know that existed. I paid for that. So, you know, you're at the mercy of the schedule. So sometimes it's a big disappointment because you can't get a winner there or whatever. But then there's kind of working out to try and still make the show good and lively, even if you're missing a couple of people. There's management of the press as well as a big thing, because, you know, big part of the reason you do it is for the publicity, and that's a big job. It's also a very satisfying side of it, because when that works and you get all the coverage you think you're going to get, it's brilliant. And sometimes when it doesn't, and that's might not even be your fault, you know, it might be that just something else was in the news that day.
Daniel Kilkelly, so lazy. He was like, no, I can't be bothered to cover the
exactly. It's all his fault. But yeah, sometimes you just don't quite make the news because of what else is happening. So that can be disappointing. So it's a big work of logistics. There's, you know, the organisation of 50, you normally have about 50 stars there.
Yeah.
And it's organising of getting all of them there and all of them set up and everyone to the hotel, and, you know, a lot of them stay in the hotel and getting them. There's a huge bit of logistics. And actors is like herding cats once you're off the leash. Because I imagine they're so disciplined at work because of the way the soap works and the filming, and it's also tight.
Yeah.
The second they're out of that studio, it's like herding cats. Thank God for the PRs who are very good at herding cats.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of it, and there's a million worries. And I'm terrible for inventing things to worry about. I wake up in the night worrying about things I've just made up. So yeah, it's a big, you have a great big knot in your stomach for about 2 hours, no, sorry, 2 weeks beforehand. And then the weirdest thing is it really is all over in about 2 hours. All of that work goes, and from the second the red carpet arrives, first red carpet arrives, until we finish the ceremony, is quite often not very much over 2 hours. And then after that, it's just drinking and that's easy. But yeah, so it's this huge, it's a bit like a wedding. It's this huge amount of work and anticipation. And then it's kind of all over and done suddenly in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, I think the wedding analogy is quite interesting, because that is kind of like, as you're describing it, yeah. I'm like, it does sound like a wedding. It does sound, yeah. And you know, you've got, you know, it's like you've got to ship your auntie in from somewhere else in the country, and she's got to get a train at 5 p.m. Can you get, you know, it's that kind of those mad logistics. And like you say, organising people is, you know, people are the hardest thing to try and kind of corral.
Yeah. So we've just touched on this actually, but the Inside Soap Awards, I'm not sure if Ali knows this, but it's notorious for being a bit of an ease up, great night out. So do you have any funny, embarrassing memories? Come
about
on, Stephen. We've got
50,000. As for the ones I can tell you, I will tell you that one of my proudest moments was last year after... Either the day of the Inside Soap Awards, the day after, I think it was the day after, one of the websites, it might have been the Daily Mail, I think, ran a story about the Inside Soap Awards being the booziest event of the year. And went right back 20 years with just loads of pictures of pissed people showing their knickers trying to get into taxis. So, and I thought, okay, I'm retiring now. I've done my work here is done. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of fun, but kind of part one of the USPs of it is that we try and make it a really good party, because a lot of those awards events actually are really long and it can be a little bit grueling. You know, you can be sat in a TV studio for about 3.5 hours wanting to kill your gran in the front for a drink. So we try and make ours fun, light, quick, you know, a bit like the magazine really is what we try and do. So yeah, this we've had a lot of fun. I mean, you know, my favourite anecdote, not my favourite, a kind of slightly, my most terrifying one is the year I nearly killed Tamika Empson and at least three of the Coronation Street cast as well, because Tamika was accepting an award. It was a year she was on Strictly. Mm. And I'd been up in the press room earlier and Tamika was having some pictures done with her photographer. And I thought, I'm going to go and get a picture because I'm rubbish at that. You know, we're all basically mad soap fans in our magazine. Yeah. We're not professional. So we love it. So the next day everyone comes in with these pictures. Look at those. And I'd never got any on my phone.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm going to give a nice picture with Tamika. So we had a little picture. Because she was doing Strictly, she slung her leg up and I grabbed it. We did a pose and it was all really good fun. And then, you know, an hour later, you know, and the winner of Funniest Female is Tamika Empson. I announced she comes up, accepts the award, does a little speech. And then the photographer's taking a picture. And I wasn't expecting it. And she slung her leg up again. I wasn't expecting it. And she fell back and I tried to grab her. And then we staggered back 1, 2, 3, 4 steps towards the front of the stage. We actually hit the podium, which vibrated.
Oh,
we
God.
Were, I would imagine, somewhere around 5 inches, a stagger and a half, off of falling off the front of the stage. And then to the point where the audience went, oh! And there was a real sort of uncomfortable moment. And then a real sort of nervous laugh. And then, so it was just like, mortifying, and then you know, and then Tamika went, and you know, everything was fine. But I was just like, oh my God, just dragged myself into oblivion to escape the terrible memories. The next morning, that's the clip they show on this morning. So Philip Schofield's going, look at that, it's hilarious. Look at that, he nearly fell off. And I'm like, oh, so the hangover and the whole shame came back again at 11 o'clock the next morning. So that's probably my hairiest moment. But there's been a lot of fun. There's been a lot of unpronounceable, unspeakable drunkenness. I've helped a lot of soap stars back to the hotel at the time, who were renamed nameless. A lot of the soap stars have helped other drunk people back, I must say. There was one year we had a competition winner who was like we all have. The first time you see a free bar, you get a little bit overexcited because it might run out. I mean, I still do that to this day.
We said it was like a wedding, and the best kind of weddings.
That sound like a wedding.
So this girl, this competition winner, was really laying into the drink, and I was sort of half an eye on her. I said to a couple of people, just keep an eye on her because she's looking a little bit staggery. This was about 7 o'clock, and then I heard, Yeah, she's in the toilet, sucking up. No. Sammy up in Coronation Street's holding her hair out of the sink.
Bless.
Oh God!
So that was another one, an example of the drunkenness. But generally, it's good fun. There's a lot of good dancing, a lot of good fun, a lot of great conversations. So it's been a lot of the nicest bit actually is back in the hotel afterwards when it's all a little bit more relaxed. Mm. You know, kind of go midnight, you can have some lovely times then. So it's all good fun.
And speaking of those kind of the end of the night, one thing me and Sophie were talking about was who, if you had to put a pin in, maybe not a specific person, but like, is there a group of people, is there a cast that kind of are always the last ones standing, always on the dance floor last? Mm. You know, who is the group that is kind of dependable?
Well, Hollyoaks are very dependable because they've got the youth and stamina.
Of course.
Stamina, not even the word stamina. They're very dependable. And I'll tell you who has Casualty.
Oh.
Casualty, go for it, because I think they... Because they're in car, you know, I think the soaps who are from out of town always seem to go for it because it's just a little bit like they're having a little holiday.
Yeah.
So, the Casualty lot really, really love good fun. Who was great last year, actually, was Maureen Lipman, who might not be last to dance floor, but she was there. She was there till late. She outlasted most of the Hollyoaks lot. Sat there chatting with everyone. She was amazing. She was absolutely amazing. She had a lovely time. She was great fun.
What I want to know is, has anyone ever lost or misplaced their award after all the drunken antics of the evening and then had to ask you for a new one?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Definitely.
That'll be me.
Famously, because they had an Instagram video the next day, and Kelly Bright lost hers 2 years ago, I think it was. So the next day, they put an Instagram video up saying thank you very much, her and Danny. They've won Best Partnership for Nick and Linda. So they put an Instagram video up saying thank you so much for our award. The next day, we really enjoyed it. And Danny's like, yeah, we'd like to show you, but because Danny hadn't been there, but Kelly had. Yeah. She lost it. She went, I haven't lost it. And he said, the thing was, she was battered. And I'd had an email the next day saying, do you have Kelly's award? She doesn't seem to have it. And then I said, we haven't. Then I got an email 2 minutes later saying, you just take the taxi firm. They've got it. It's fine. She left it in the cab. We've had a bit of that. We've had to retrieve some from cabs. We've had a couple go completely missing. Don't know, someone's always taken, a couple of people somewhere have inside soap awards in their bedrooms. So I've had to pay to get them remade again, that thing. I've had a soap actor, quite well known one, DM me on Twitter basically to say, have you got my award? Because I've lost it and I'm too scared to ask the press office to ask you.
It's like,
I said, yeah, it's in my locker. I took it home. So we do a sweep at the end of the night for awards. And we also, what we try and do is take them off people and then put them in a bag and put them in the cloakroom with the name on. Because then if they don't collect them, we can just get them all out of the cloakroom. We've got them. It's kind of trying to damage limitation on those. So they do get lost from time to time.
I remember I asked someone when I was there a couple of years ago where their award was, because I was speaking to them and she was like, oh, it's been taken off me because I've had a few already and I'm worried I'm going to lose it.
It does happen.
So to switch gears slightly now, sticking with Inside Soap, but moving away slightly from the award show, something that we kind of, I was interested in from a, because obviously Digital Spy is kind of a website only, and you guys have been doing both for a while, and obviously magazine kind of long-standing. I was just curious to get your kind of take on how viewer tastes, of kind of Soap's fans' tastes have changed in recent years, and how you guys at Inside Soap have kind of responded to that. And something that someone mentioned to me was, you know, the kind of Emmerdale's kind of proliferation on magazine covers and that sort of stuff, and how those tastes have changed and what your kind of feeling was there.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a real ebb and flow. It really is. It changes over the years. What's got that extra little edge of popular that makes someone... Mm. That'll make the difference between someone buying a magazine or not. I think the same as will make them click on a story or not. Mm. There's just, you know, one soap's a little edge, sometimes a couple of them have. Famously, there was a long time when no one had Emmerdale on their cover. Mm. A long, long time. And it just didn't really sort of happen. And then the show began to get, I think we were the first awards to give Emmerdale Best Soap for it to win in our awards, which is around the time of all the Debbie and Cameron and the flooding the Woolpack stuff, yeah. I think, was that yeah. year. So it was a really big, it was a really good time. So, and that kind of seemed to open it, I think, but that was around the time the show was suddenly starting to get really, really popular from A, from a general audience point of view, B, also from a fan point of view, which is quite important because fans make a lot of noise and people listen to noise, and then that kind of almost has an effect that it almost brings, that fans can bring the more general audience with them because people see noise about it and it piques their interest. So it's interesting, and it's weird. I mean, there was a long time where we really only put EastEnders on the cover, and that wasn't showing favouritism in one way. It was because we sold markedly less if we put another soap on the cover. And, you know, at the end of the day, a magazine is a commercial venture. So you have to take that sort of stuff into account. So there was a while with that, but that was the same for all the TV listings magazines and everything. Mm. It was very, very much a sort of constant run of EastEnders. Recently, it's, you know, sort of last year, I'd say, it's been quite a run on Corrie, maybe a couple of years. But actually, at the moment, if you look, it's actually quite, in terms of magazine covers, because obviously I look at them all every week and sort of analyse them and think about them, it's actually quite an even split at the minute. It's kind of a time where I feel I will go with what I think is the strongest thing for the cover rather than I will err to the, if I'm not sure, I'll err to the EastEnders one or err to the Corrie one, which is what sometimes you do because you just sort of know they've got a little edge of popularity on the other one. But at the minute, actually, they're all kind of uniquely out, which is a lovely place to be.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been saying, me and Sophie, the past couple of weeks, it's been a year to remember for lots of reasons. And obviously all of the soaps are kind of tackling this year in different ways, and they've had to kind of adjust timelines and schedules. But it's been, when you look across the board at the kind of storylines that are landing on screen at the moment, there's this kind of feeling to me that everyone is racing towards big, there's movements of big moments, because whether that's because of anniversaries or time jumps, everyone's kind of like, and maybe it's the end of the year, but there's a kind of a bit, we're awash with big storylines and kind of big moments, which is great as a soaps fan.
This is about now is the week where you see Christmas starting generally in soaps. You see there'll just be some things that have been bubbling under that will start to move or whatever because they've got 6 weeks or whatever, 7 weeks to go. So it's this is the time, but you know, this is kind of the business of soaps now. You know, there's a lot of, in TV you have to make a lot of noise now, you have to create a bit of a buzz around yourself, so these sort of working towards these big plots and pushing towards them is kind of what a lot of it is about now. And you know, Corrie particularly has got its 60th anniversary in December and then straight into Christmas. You know, who launches a programme on the 9th of December? you never do that these days. Also, it's quite annoying for us because it falls at a really odd time. Anyway, there has been that, and you know, I think there obviously has been a prolific amount of anniversaries this year. I think they do work towards that, but also I think they've learned the lesson. There was a time, I would say sort of mid-2000s, where they started to go mad on the events and almost like forget about the bits in between. And also a little bit too mad on the awards and getting the most spectacular scene and trying to get things in the week of the voting and all of this. I think everyone went a little bit crazy for that kind of event stuff, but then they kind of realised actually you're better having a smoother year and smaller peaks than trying to make these great big ones.
Definitely. We spoke to Daniel about this last week or the other week, about these sort of these big audacious plots episodes, and then how sometimes it's difficult to keep momentum going in the aftermath.
Sometimes what people want is to tune in and kind of have that comfort, is see the kind of same faces and, you know, see smaller storylines develop rather than
I think that's what's been important this year as well, particularly just having them on and having these familiar people in the living room. Because I just sort of always, and I judge on the soap awards quite often and stuff, and I'll sort of say this, so just sort of think sometimes it's just be two people sitting on a sofa talking. I don't think it has to be Trixie and flashbacks whatever else kind of mad things. I mean, I think they've got their place, but generally you should be able to do it with kind of straight storytelling, because that's what soaps are. And if you get them right, you can do it with that. But, you know, I love all the bells and whistles, and particularly, you know, in magazines and on websites who kind of cover soaps. We love that because it gives us more and more stuff to talk about and to anticipate. And, you know, because a lot of what we do is the anticipation. So if the reader, the viewer, the user knows that there's an event coming up and you can keep teasing it towards them, people love that. So that's kind of a lot. So you know, long live the events. But I also do love two people sitting on a sofa talking.
Yeah, it's a comfort blanket, isn't it? I think so for a lot of people, especially at the moment. I mean, it's been a year to remember, but maybe also a year to forget, depending on how we look at it. Speaking of which, we are actually going to wrap up in a second, but very quickly, how did COVID affect your approach to the magazine this year, especially like over the summer where there were fewer soaps on air and more gaps to fill, I imagine?
It made us, obviously, like all of us, it made us more creative, I think, in terms of, you know, you've got to use what you've got and do what you can. Mm. So, you know, we mined the history maybe a little bit more and that kind of stuff and tried to bring a sort of new take to that. But what we found was that the saving grace of that time, really, was that where we were in lockdown, the actors were stuck at home. So they were all quite happy to go on the phone and have really big long chats with you because they had nothing else to do.
So
they were, you know, because it felt a little bit like work. So they were, so actually what we kind of missed out on plots and shocks and all of that kind of thing, we actually gained in sort of richness of content and some lovely interviews. And we, you know, we invented some new kind of interview formats and stuff that we did that were quite fun and interesting. So that kind of helped. And also because we were a bit worried about the soaps going off completely, we were keeping people on the phone as long as possible, banking like three features at the same time. Yeah. So we had a lot of material still to go. So we're kind of doing that. Where it was problematic, I think, was the stories are moving quite slowly. And there was only really, in terms of what you would call cover stories in inverted commas, there weren't that many. So it did feel like you were moving the same six faces around the cover in a different order every week. to kind of try, you know, it's quite hard for covers, really, trying to do that sort of, you know, trying to bring a new twist or a new thing to a story every single week was quite difficult. But it was, you know, you kind of wonder what have we been talking about now if we hadn't been through all that.
Yeah,
I know.
It's funny. We had a very similar experience, I think, both Sophie and I, when we were back in April or May, and we were kind of like you said, we were putting the feelers out. You know, we'd love to film with some people, or you know, we've got all these hundreds of questions from fans. Does anyone want to answer them? And we, you know, lots of people. We, you know, people from kind of all over Soapland were quite happy to sit down in front of a camera and kind of talk to themselves and to viewers for half an hour at times, just going through these questions because everyone had the time to do it.
What's actually been quite good from it is that it's made Zoom calls or, you know, WhatsApp video about feel quite normal in a way that a lot of people would think they didn't. And actually, I think some actors have discovered it's actually a much more preferable way to do an interview because you can engage a lot better than just on the phone. Yeah. And I know that certainly we enjoy it more if we get it. I think you actually get more out of an interview because I think you can just engage with people better. So actually, we're quite, because there's more of that happening, we're quite happy with that. Although we are missing the trips, we're missing the day out in Emmerdale Village or whatever, or in the press junkets, and you know, the trips up to Albert Square and stuff. We do miss that.
I miss that as well. Hopefully next year.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Brilliant. I think that is everything. Thank you so much, Stephen. This has been great. So interesting.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. Yeah, really interesting. Really good to kind of get your knowledge. And we're excited to see what the Inside Soap Awards bring this year, as always.
Yeah, good luck with it.
Yeah, good luck.
It's going all right so far. Everyone said yes so far. That might actually done what they said yes start. To, but they said yes.
The drink virtually as well this year, at home with the gin.
Yes. Well, at least no one can lose their award this time round.
Exactly. Right.
Okay, all thanks, Stephen.
Thank you.
Cheers
see
for
ya.
That. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And that was our chat with Stephen. I hope you enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting also to get his thoughts on how, what it was like running a soaps magazine this year when everything hit the proverbial fan.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, obviously we have some insight to that, but yeah, hearing his thoughts on that stuff. And also just like, he, Inside Soap's been running for like 20 years, like he said. So they're kind of like the history of the magazine and a bit of around kind of like how he see things have changed, I think is really interesting. Yeah, he's definitely a guy with a lot of stories and a lot of, a lot of insight around the world of soaps.
Yes, absolutely. It was a really, really interesting chat. So I hope you all got something from that. But now is the part of the podcast where we break down all of next week's spoilers. So running from November the 23rd all the way through to the 28th, I think.
Yes.
Well, not the best with dates, but that is that. So we are going to start off with Corrie, where the big story is very sadly Oliver's death, which is going to air on in a double bill on November the 27th. I'm just going to say now, very quickly, we're going to be discussing the details of Oliver's final scenes for the next few minutes, which we are aware might be upsetting for some listeners. So if you would rather skip this bit, we'll put a timestamp in the episode notes so you can jump forward to the next story or even the next soap, because it isn't always an easy listen.
No. And I think, definitely. I think it's a storyline that we've been, obviously has been kind of the heart of Corrie for the past month or two and longer, really. But in the past few weeks, it's really started to ramp up. And yeah, like you said, we're kind of now in this really kind of sad final stretch that's going to culminate in this double bill.
Yeah, so we've seen Leanne lead this legal fight to prevent the hospital from switching off Oliver's life support. But in very, very difficult scenes next week, she realises it's time to let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you say, we've known it's leading to this for a long time, but it comes after, well, she decides to change tactics initially by suing the hospital for alleged negligence, because she needs to change her approach because Steve, Oliver's father, is no longer supporting her. But like Imran and Elliot, who are her representatives, aren't supporting her either. They're no longer willing to represent her because they've taken the fight as far as she can. But then the turning point comes when he arrests in hospital.
Yeah, like you say, from there, I think we'll have a few episodes of kind of conversation between Steve and Leanne, where he kind of says, you know, it's time to kind of stop this fight. We're kind of, you know, he's suffering, you know, needlessly in some ways, and you know, it's time for us to say goodbye. And those are the scenes that will kind of air near the end of the week.
Yeah, definitely. I think Leanne's whole argument this entire time has been that he's not suffering and that, you know, he could one day be okay if there's a treatment. But when he arrests and the medical team do revive him, but it's obvious that he is suffering, and she does eventually agree to withdraw his life support. And Oliver very sadly passes away as they're singing "You Are My Sunshine." Oh. It's going to be really, really, really sad.
Yeah,
really sad.
And I think without dwelling on the storyline too much, I think it's definitely worth saying. I think we said this repeatedly, but I do really think all of the actors have just done a kind of phenomenal job throughout this storyline. It's such heavy lifting, such emotional scenes week after week, but I think they've all really kind of shone. Pivoting kind of away from something quite so sad to something quite different, in Corrie, the other kind of storyline I want to touch upon was the next development in the saga of Jeff.
Ongoing saga.
Yeah. So I think next week and a bit of this week, what we're going to see is Tim essentially kind of really right the ship. He's apologising to Yasmin, and he, as a way of kind of wanting to put things right, he's going to agree to stand as a witness for her defence in December, which obviously kind of leaves Jeff horrified and, you know, makes him realise perhaps that he doesn't have the kind of support that he's been relying on.
Yes. So the big question here is whether Jeff is going to sail off into the sunset of Cyprus. I mean, I don't think so. I think that would be very unjust for poor Yasmin, but the timing couldn't be better for scheming Ray to swoop in and offer to buy number six from him.
Yeah.
Ray's obviously working with Debbie, his little sidekick, as they are trying to secure all the local properties before announcing their plans.
It's a great little kind of like lead into the Ray story, and I don't think, I mean, surely Corey won't let Jeff, like you say, sail off into the sunset, go to Cyprus after everything we've seen this year. I can't imagine that's how this story ends, but that is what is being positioned to us over the next week, so we'll have to wait and see how it all kind of shakes out.
Yeah, I don't think people would be very happy. It would not be very fair. But you know, you never know. These things don't always have a happy ending, do they?
No.
But the other big Jeff story, like you say, it's all going on next week with Jeff, but is the fact that Alia and Ryan discover that he's been taking like mysterious trips out of Weatherfield, and they are wondering if he could be visiting Elaine, who's very needed for Yasmin's trial because she's one of the key witnesses.
I think what we know that's going to happen next week is that Jeff's going to kind of come back and confront them. They're going to be snooping around and he's going to find them looking where they shouldn't be. So it's all going to kick off.
Oh, he never misses a trick, does he, Jeff?
No, you can't catch him out.
Literally can't. Yeah, it's so annoying. But yeah, you have to wait and see, like, A, what he's been doing, and B, if they can get the truth out of him, and C, if he's going to sail off into the sunnier sights of Cyprus. Dun, dun, dun. Right, jumping very swiftly onto Emmerdale, where the big story next week involves Gabby and her ongoing fixation with Layla is going to take a bit of a dark turn.
Yeah, we spoke about this, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, where this storyline has started to pick up a bit of speed. And you made the single white female comparison. And like, it's an interesting one. And this, seeing this kind of like obsessive side of Gabby, she kind of wants to drive a wedge between Liam and Layla. So next week, even though Gabby's kind of had this conversation with Liam where he's like, leave us alone, stop meddling in our love life. She has lunch with Layla, it all kicks off. And as Gabby and Liam are rowing, Layla makes this like suggestion that perhaps something inappropriate has been going on between them. She asks Gabby if Liam has taken advantage of her when they're alone. And that's something that Gabby doesn't necessarily refute. So we end up with a situation where Gabby kind of leads her to believe something has happened.
Yes. So yes, exactly. She doesn't come out and outwardly lie, but at the same time, she doesn't deny it. So she leads Layla to think that Liam has been inappropriate or has been behaving inappropriately, which is a very, very serious allegation.
Yeah.
It's got to see that all unfold.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't really know where this storyline's going to go. Like, I'm obviously I don't know where any of them are going to go, but this one in particular is a bit of an enigma in terms of what the future holds.
Yeah, definitely. I can't quite work it out.
Yeah.
But interesting. But also, amid all of this, we've got Jacob leaving for Dancing on Ice. Not literally, obviously, but the actor who plays him, Joe Warren Pallant, is going to be on the next series of Dancing on Ice. So Jacob, coincidentally, or maybe not so, tells Layla that he's going to Portugal for 6 months to visit his mum, Alicia.
Classic.
Yeah, classic little
trip to Portugal. Getaway.
Yeah, convenient. And then the other big story in Emmerdale. This is another very mysterious one. But Al and Priya get engaged, which he sort of does a bit of a
by accident, but like they've been discussing marriage, right? And Priya's like, I really, you know, like the idea of being married, and Al's like, not so sure, which kind of upsets her, and then he kind of immediately proposes as a response, which is an interesting move.
Yeah, it's all a bit impulsive and a bit questionable because he makes this spontaneous proposal. It's all lovely. Priya's over the moon, but I think the problem is, I mean, A, Billy tells Priya that she's going to get her heart broken by Al. Yeah. I don't think he's quite buying into it. And then we see Al taking a private call later on and then disappearing on a work trip, which tells us that not everything is as it seems.
Yeah. Yeah, mysterious phone calls are never a good indicator in Soapland, are they?
Definitely not. And this story is going to be getting very big over Christmas. So definitely one to keep an eye on. Right, I think we're going to jump on to Hollyoaks.
Yes.
I'm really sad about this. So big story next week is the sort of aftermath of Mitchell's exit / the mystery surrounding it. I'm a big fan of Mitchell and Scott. This is very sad. But Imran, we've known for a while that Imran Adams is leaving. He's filmed his final scenes and he mysteriously vanishes. Although it's not quite so mysterious if you've been watching E4. Yeah. If you watched last night's E4 episode, because we saw Toby tell him that he had to leave the country.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they were going to frame him for Lisa's murder. But yes, it's all very sad. So his family don't have any idea where he is. Scott has no idea where he is. They're trying to find him. They're trying to get answers about his whereabouts. But I think the big question is if Toby's going to come clean and what has actually happened to Mitchell. Yeah. Has he left of his own accord or has he had something more sinister done to him?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a week of everyone looking around and kind of starting to get really start to be worried about where Mitchell might be. And we're going to see, you know, Martine is definitely on the hunt to find out where he is. All the while, Toby's kind of right there, you know, supporting her, being a shoulder to cry on.
Filling the Mitchell-shaped hole in her life.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm with you, Sophie. We're very sad to see Imran Adams leave, but I'm sure he's going to go on to other, you know, different exciting things. But, yeah, this the way kind of... we're looking for something to fill the Mitchell-shaped hole in all of our lives.
Oh, it's so sad. Poor Scott. Yeah. But like you say, yeah, he's a very talented actor. I think he's got a big future ahead of him. And then the other big story next week, we've discussed this a few times, but this Sienna Liberty baby situation, shall we say, comes to a head when baby Faith goes missing. But there's a bit of a question mark as to whether Sienna has swooped in and stolen her.
Yeah, so, I mean, what we know so far is that, so obviously if you've been following the story, Liberty decided to keep the baby to everyone's kind of quite shock. Sienna is kind of more desperate than ever to see little baby Faith. And next week we're going to have some scenes where Sienna finds Liberty talking in inverted commas to Nico again, which obviously viewers of the next one know is a shock, is a warning signal because obviously she's not really there. And so I think we're going to see Sienna's priorities change from kind of, I would like to see Faith, to being like, this is a dangerous situation for both Faith and my sister.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because Liberty isn't well.
No.
And I don't think it's clear how much of that is playing a part in her decision to keep Faith. Yeah. Obviously, all along, she had agreed to have the baby for Sienna and Brody. But also, we've got Sienna becoming increasingly obsessed over the whole thing, she's following Sienna and Liberty and Damon. It's a complicated one.
Yeah, it is,
to say the least.
And it's not cut and dry at all around, you know, who's in the right or who's got whose best interests in mind.
Yeah, I mean, like morally, Liberty agreed to have the baby for Sienna, but then legally, she is her biological mother. So I think it is. Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that will be playing out all across next week.
Yes.
And then last but not least, we've got EastEnders.
Yes.
And this is, I don't even know where to start really, but we're going to talk about Callum.
Yeah.
And the aftermath of this disastrous robbery job.
Sophie, before we get started, can we please talk about this? So this will be last Monday's, last Monday's episode, when you listen to this on Friday, the end scene when the Mitchells and Kat and like Phil's got his beanie on, they like walk towards the car, the music plays, Ian's in the phone box, like just the drama of it all. I deeply enjoyed, and I think everyone is feeling the same way, which is that we're a bit bored of some of the Mitchell storylines. We're not quite sure where they're going, but having Jessie Wallace as part of this group, it just makes everything infinitely more watchable. She's such a fun actress to watch. And yeah, that scene, I just died. It was so good.
I knew exactly what you were going to say when you were like, can we talk about this? It was the incidental music as well. Wasn't it?
It really was.
It was so extra.
Yeah.
And just so not EastEnders-like.
Definitely.
Because it's usually very dark and sinister, but it was almost played for laughs, yeah. wasn't it? In comedy,
like a heist. It was like a Ocean's 11 style like heist movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you're right. Like I don't love the Mitchell crime stories very much. I think we're all kind of in agreement. Even the hardcore Balham fans, we don't always want to see Ben and Phil plot these jobs for episodes on end. But yeah, Kat and Kush have made it more watchable.
Yes, definitely.
And then next week, it's going to be switching focus again to Callum's role in all of this, because he obviously has been working with D.I. Thompson to bring Phil down. They bugged the Archers. And now he's in this predicament where he's actually going to find himself in danger.
Yeah, so it's a case of, I mean, we've spoken about this a few times of like, the Callum storyline is interesting because it's such a case of like, who knows what, like, he knows, what does Callum know? What is he telling Thompson? What is he telling Phil? Like, all the lies that are kind of like crossing over each other and getting kind of very messy for Callum. And yeah, this week we're going to see kind of what happens when he's tasked with investigating the crime and kind of has to do some digging around, you know, who did the 999 call, which we knew was Ian.
Yeah.
And like all this stuff that's kind of going to play out as he works out what's happening, has to take matters into his own hands. And then D.I. Thompson, you know, gives him this ultimatum that's like, if we don't get, you know, if you don't send Phil to prison, I'll send you somewhere worse, like, which is very, you know, dark warning. And
not good.
You know, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you are a Callum and Balham fan.
Yes.
Where do you think his loyalties lie? Do you think they're with Ben, or is he more concerned with staying on the right side of Thompson?
I think it's Ben. I think his whole arc has been like, which is a strange one, I think, for Callum's character, because like his thing has been like, he wanted to be a police officer more than anything, and then he became a police officer and he's basically like, oh, I'm just willing to like not care about this at all. I'll lie, I'll do whatever to make sure Ben doesn't go to prison. Which is a weird one because you kind of feel like where Ben's character is now, he's almost at a place where if Callum said to him, you don't do the thing, he wouldn't do the thing. But because Callum is involved, it's just, it's becoming messy. And I think it's you're right, it's about Callum's priorities. But I think Callum's got kind of too bogged down in what he thinks is going to be the thing that's going to help Ben, when really it's just making everything a bit worse.
Yeah, Ben sees a killer's heel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, he's his weakness.
Yeah.
Whenever Ben's brought into it, like the other day, Kush was like, I'll make sure Ben goes to prison.
Yeah.
Callum's like, oh, okay.
And then also, the other thing we've got is, like, obviously Jack is still sniffing around. He knows something's up, and he's got, a bone to pick, lots of bones to pick with the Mitchells really now, so we shall see.
Yeah, it's a hot mess, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know what's going to happen. But the other big story for EastEnders next week is involving Peter. Mm. We haven't talked much about Peter on here. So he is going to be the latest in a long line of people who have got beef with Ian. There's already like simmering tension between them. There always has been. But he discovers that Ian has taken him out of his will, which is just a bit odd.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crux of it, right? Peter finds out that, Peter gets a call from Lauren. I don't think we hear her on the phone, but, you know, nice to hear Lauren Branning's name mentioned. She's in trouble in New Zealand. They've got nowhere to live. And Peter is kind of scrambling for money to help her, finds out that he's been written out of the will. Obviously, is really angry about this, kicks off at Bobby, and then approaches Bobby about using money from the Lucy Beale Foundation to help Lauren, which is a lot. That's a quite an intense thing to kind of, especially to ask Bobby, who's going through all sorts of his own stuff at the moment. It's interesting. And I think the thing that I keep thinking about is something you said, Sophie, I think last week, the week before, about whodunits and where are we going with this storyline of like, everyone hates Ian. I mean, like, I know people have hated Ian in the past, but at the moment it's like, everyone is pissed off at him.
It does. And Peter's not the only one. So Peter and Bobby are going to be having issues with him. But there's Tina, who's come into this as well. Obviously, we know that Ian made the call about the robbery. So he's then made like a number of enemies there. Yeah. We've got Kat, Kush, Phil. I mean, the list just goes
on Monday, Ben literally threatened to kill him if he didn't, because of what he did to Kathy. So it's not a good situation. And I think, and presumably we're going to get, what I see happening is some sort of team up with Suki. Just because I think, yes. I think everyone wants to see Masuki, because why wouldn't you? She's such a great villain. So maybe we'll get something from there as well.
Yeah, he's got his fingers on a lot of pies. Yeah. Also, there's the Sharon strand as well with Denny. It's all happening. But I've got a feeling that it's heading somewhere big.
No.
And that's all I'm going to say. So on that note, I think we'll wrap this up.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening. I was just saying before we started this episode that we are reaching the end of the road with this series, aren't we?
Yeah, end of series one. We've got a few more episodes in the bag, which are excited for you to hear, some more interviews and stuff. Next week, we've got a really interesting chat with Chris Bisson from Emmerdale. Talking to him about some big storylines that are coming up for Jay and Laurel. Some really kind of interesting, complex topics that I'm sure lots of people are kind of already discussing. So tune in if you're interested in that, definitely. It's a really good chat. We've got a few more episodes to go. But it's been a really fun journey doing this with you, Sophie, and I'm looking forward to kind of the next few.
Yeah, right back at you. It's been great, and I hope you've all enjoyed it. We certainly have. But yeah, not finished just yet, but we were just saying earlier that we don't know whether the time's gone.
Yeah, exactly. And before we go, you can, as always, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/digitalspiesoaps, on Twitter at soapscoop, and you can read about all of the spoilers that we've covered here in more detail over on digitalspy.com/soaps.
Yep, and as always, don't forget to subscribe for the final few episodes. If you do that, you will get the episode straight away when it lands every Friday, 8 a.m. And leave us a review, leave us 5 stars, and have a great week.
Enjoy. See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.